Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners. It is once more and again, God has saw fit to allow us to be together one more time for Inspirational Wednesday, hosted by myself, Diane Adams. You know, it's always a privilege and an honor to go before God's people with a word from God. I pray that everyone receive the word tonight and that God's word will not return void. I just want to say thanks, God, the Father, for allowing us to have this time, for his darling son, Jesus, who made a way for us out of no way. I want to thank the sweet Holy Spirit who lives inside of us and guides us unto all righteousness and truth. I just would like to thank each and every one of you for calling in tonight. The switchboard is lighting up, and I just want to just say thank you. At this time, I'm going to go ahead and go into prayer for the program tonight. No, I'm going to play a song first. I'm going to play this record that says, Hold On. Our topic tonight is going to come from the book of Matthew for those who have your Bible and those who want to get their Bibles. We're going to be in Matthew, the 25th chapter. We're going to deal with verses 1 through 13. Topic for tonight is, don't put off until tomorrow what you should do today. The spirit of procrastination. And I just want to thank you guys. I'm going to play this record. I'm going to come back and open up with prayer, give some other callers a chance to get on the line. And after that, we're going to go into the lesson. So just listen to this record. It's called Hold On, and that's what we all have to do. We have to find a way to hold on even when we don't feel like it. We have to hold on when we feel like we have no more strength, because it's not over until God says it's over. And this record is coming on now. Thank you.
Higher if you hold on.
Yes, that was his step aside. You know, plenty of things God want to do for us and through us, plenty of times we get in the way. And as that record just played and said, you know, we have to step aside and get out the way and let God have his way. Right now I see a caller has the one button pressed on the phone. It may be an error, but I'm going to go ahead and see if that caller would like to say something or maybe open up in prayer. So I'm going to go ahead and open the line, and after that we'll get with the lesson. But the caller, your number is 225-300. Your one button is pressed. If you want to speak, you can speak at this time. 225-300-30. Your mic is open if you want to talk. Okay, maybe that was an error. So we're going to go ahead on into prayer right now. And as always, I always ask if anyone would like to lead us in prayer. You could press the one button on your phone at this time, and I'll open the mic. Excuse, and if no one would like to, I'll go ahead on and open with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our Heavenly Father, our Lord, our Master, the King of Kings, the great I Am. Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace right now. Heavenly Father, these callers have called in for the word of God, and I'm here with the word of God given to me by the Holy Ghost. And you said if two or more would touch and agree, you'd be in the midst. Lord, we ask that you allow your word to be fresh upon the ears of everyone that hear. Dear God, let them not just be hearers, but become doers of your word. Lord, I pray that your word don't return void, and it'll set out and accomplish everything that you have designed for it to do. Bless each caller, dear God. Bless every home that's represented here, dear God. Bless this night. Bless Inspirational Wednesday, that we can continue to come together week after week in a fellowship of your word. Heavenly Father, let us be conscious. Let us be anxious. Let us be willing to receive what you have to say. Heavenly Father, and as always, we're going to be so careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, first of all, because you're worthy. There's no other name besides the name of Jesus. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. And Lord, because of that, we say thank you. Heavenly Father, you have put everything in motion and everything in place that we can have a joyous life and that we could spend eternity with you. And Lord, for that, we say thank you. Heavenly Father, every blessing that I ask for and every word that I say, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Heavenly Father, all these blessings and others, I ask in your darling son Jesus' name, our healer, our master, our Lord, and our Savior. And again, I just want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in tonight. I see that some more callers has come on the line. And if you have your Bible or your pencil and your paper, the lesson is going to come from Matthew's, the 25th chapter, verses 1 through 13. The topic of the lesson tonight is don't put off until tomorrow what you should do today, the spirit of procrastination. As always, when I get ready to do the lesson, I like to do a background. And since the scripture is coming from the book of Matthew's, I'm going to do a little background on Matthew's. The book of Matthew's is one of the four Gospels in the Bible. It's one of the first four books, which is called the Gospel in the Bible in the New Testament. And the word gospel just means the good news of Jesus Christ. The book of Matthew's was written by Matthew's, and he was one of the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ. Matthew's was a Jew, but strangely, he was a tax collector. In those days, a tax collector was despised by the people. You see, Matthew lived in a region of Galilee, You see, Galilee was predominantly rural. It consists of small towns and villages. You see, the people in Galilee wasn't an elite class of people. They were common folks. Most of them was farmers, and the rest of them was fishermen. But it's amazing that Jesus chose all of his disciples except Judas. He chose them from Galilee. You see, Jesus deliberately passed over the religious and influent and instead chose the group of common and sometimes sinful men to be his disciples. Isn't this telling you something, that a saint ain't nothing but a saved sinner? You see, Matthew's held one of the most despised position in all Israel by being a tax collector. And tax collectors was also called Republicans. Not Republicans, but publicans. Tax collectors were hated by the Jewish society, and they was even more despised by the Roman soldiers who occupied Israel at that time. You see, Israel was under siege by the Romans, and the Romans was in charge of the Jews. And Matthews was a collector for the Romans, and he collected from the Jews, so they didn't like him. The Roman soldiers didn't like him because he had a position, so he wasn't liked by nobody. In fact, the Jewish book of law taught that it was righteous, and it was all right to lie and deceive the tax collectors, because that was a position where they was exhaustionists. You know, they cheated the people. And because they cheated, they were saying it was all right to cheat. You see, publicans were men who bought tax franchises. Now listen at this. The taxes had to be collected. And anytime they had anything going on in Israel, Jerusalem, people came from all over, but you had to use the money of that place. So they had to change money. They had money changes, and so people would go and buy a tax franchise, and that's what Matthew did. He bought a tax franchise from the Roman emperor and then extorted money from the people of Israel. And the money that he didn't steal, it went to the Roman treasurer, who also made money on the Jews. You see, the tax collectors didn't get a salary, so they was hated by people for being cheated. And because they didn't get a salary, they would earn a living by cheating the people. For a Jewish man like Matthews, also called Levite, to be a tax collector and earning a living that way, it was horrible to them. His occupation made him a traitor to the nation. They had no moral integrity, the tax collectors. They wouldn't hesitate to use force to get their money. He would also have been a religious outcast. In other words, he wasn't even allowed to go to the temple. Back then, you know, they went to the temple and they made sacrifices. He couldn't even make sacrifices because they figured he just was not a good person. You know, and back then the Gentiles could not go in the Jewish temples or the synagogues, but they used to have church, well, their service or whatever way they worship, outside in the courtyard. The Gentiles wouldn't even allow Matthew to be a part of them. If you read the Bible, plenty of times when you see the word tax collector, the word sinner is always in the same phrase. Matthews was such a man. One day, Jesus, after deciding and ready to gather up his disciples, one day as Jesus went alone and walking, probably concentrating and getting things together, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector booth. And he said to him, follow me. And Matthew got up and followed him. If you want to know where that's at in the Bible, go to Matthew 9:9. They say, and when Jesus called Matthew, he went, he followed, and he became one of the apostles. Here we see Matthew didn't go looking for Christ, but Christ came looking for him. And we all realize this in our lives, because this is the same way Jesus came looking for us. We didn't go looking for Jesus. Jesus came looking for us. You see, Matthew didn't procrastinate when he was called by Jesus. You know, he could have said, not today, but tomorrow. He didn't put off until tomorrow what he had to do that day. And, of course, he became one of the 12 disciples, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He wrote a book in the Bible, the book of Matthew. And after that, the rest is history. So I hope that gave you some information on Matthew, and you could go and you could look it up, because, you know, it's important to know the characters in the Bible. When Jesus wrote the Bible and he gave characters, he's given us that for example. And some of the things that they did was really good, and some of the things that they did was not as good. So you take what you can take and you use that, because, you know, we are taught if we can live and watch the things that people do, good or bad, and we decide what to do and what not to do because of the consequences for the action, we could save ourselves. We don't have to go through all of the pain and suffering that we do. We know some things in life just don't work no matter who's doing it. So if you know that, use it to your advantage. And we're going to go into the lesson. The title of the study for tonight is, don't put off until tomorrow what you should do today, because that will be procrastination. We're going to go in Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 1 through 13. And that is the parable of the 10 virgins. Matthew 25, 1 through 13 is the parable of the 10 virgins. And I'm going to read the scriptures now. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them was wise, and 5 was foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took the oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lights, their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no. Listen at this word. They said, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go and gather to those who sell and buy some for yourselves. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour which the Son of God is coming. I think that's a beautiful parable. And God, Jesus Christ, if you look in your Bible and you see the red writing, you know that's Jesus Christ talking. And as we, you know, always say before, Jesus told this parable, which is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And that's what a parable is. Jesus tell parables because it should be easier to understand. You see, this parable clarified that what it means to be ready for Jesus' return. And it also lets you know how you should live until he come back. In the story, the 10 virgins, we are taught that everyone is responsible for his or her own condition. You know, each five had their stuff, five didn't have their stuff, but each of them was responsible to have what they need, and we should be responsible in everything that we do. And it shows the necessity of using well what God has entrusted to us until he returns. And the things that he has given us until he returns, you know, we have our talents, our time, and our resources. You have to be careful what you do with what God has put in your hand, you know. And everybody, he has given us something. We have children. We are responsible. He's given us resources. He's given us talent. And if he wake you up, you got time. You see, this parable is about a wedding. And they had 10 virgins, but the 10 virgins represent the bridesmaids. They had 10 virgins that was there probably helping prepare and get the bride ready for the bridegroom. And the bridegroom would come at a certain time, but you didn't know when he would come. And you would have to go out and meet him and meet him. You know, a lot of people, when they hear this parable and they say the 10 virgins, they think that it means that there were 10 brides. They did not. It wasn't 10 brides. It was 10 bridesmaids that assisted, that would assist the bride. And the bride, you know, would be the bride. This parable is about a wedding, and it was 10 bridesmaids. And like I say, not 10 brides. And the only one bride, which represents the church, and I'm not talking about the church building. I'm not talking about Little St. Mary's Catholic Church. I'm not talking about New Zion Baptist Church. I'm talking about the church. We are the church. Each and every one of us is the church. And Jesus said he's coming back for the church without spots and blemishes. You see, we are the church, the body of Christ. The five virgins who had extra oil represented the true Christians. They were prepared and looking with eagerness for the coming of the bridegroom, which represents Christ. You got it? The 10 virgins, the church is us, the bridegroom is Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, I'm married to the church. This is a prime example when you see that written in the Bible, what he's talking about. You see, those five virgins who had prepared themselves and they waited, you know, they didn't procrastinate. You know, they knew, they didn't know how long it would be before the bridegroom comes. That's just like us. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. But he's coming, and he's coming back for his people, the church. You have to be careful what you're doing in the time that while we waiting for Christ and even how we wait for him. So Jesus gave us this parable. You see, the five virgins without the oil represent Christians who procrastinate, a people who procrastinate with the issues of life as well as the things of God. You see, they were more concerned about the party than about longing to see the bridegroom, which was Christ. Their hope is that their association with believers, give us some oil, would be enough. And it would bring them to where they wanted to go. You see, this, of course, is never the case. One person's faith in Jesus cannot save another one. The Lord Jesus, when they said, the Lord, Lord, let us in, you know, the door was shut. and they couldn't get in. So how many of our people the door is going to be closed on when Jesus come back? And, you know, the scriptures tell us that many people is going to say, Lord, Lord, but he's going to tell you, I don't even know you. They're going to say, but I did all these wonderful things in your name. You say, I don't know you. And this is a representation of that. The five faithful and the five foolish. You see, the lamps of Earl, the lamps with no Earl represented those who were not prepared. They procrastinated by putting off what they should have done. In turn, they showed up late and they couldn't get in. You see, procrastination is a spirit that is not of God. Procrastination is not your friend. So if you know you have a spirit of procrastination, I suggest you leave it alone, because it don't mean you're no good. You see, procrastination is an act of willfully delaying the doing of something that should be done. And in some people, it's habitual. It's their way of handling any and every task that is before them. While the word procrastination itself is not found in the Bible, we can find some principles to help to guide us. You see, as Christians, we should be motivated to do diligence in our work, since the way that we handle things could ultimately be looked upon as serving the Lord. This is how we give him glory. You know, people are looking at us. We say we love the Lord. We say we are a child of God. People are looking at us all the time. You see, because most of them will never read their Bible, but they will read you. And if you go around with a spirit of procrastination, never meeting deadlines, never showing up when you're supposed to, never, you know, being a good team player and things like that, it's going to be a reflection on God. Whatever you do, work at it with your whole heart as working for the Lord, not for men. You could find that in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 23. And I'm going to read it again. Whatever you do, work at it with your whole heart as working for the Lord, not for men. If we put our heart into our work, as this verse says to do, we will probably find it difficult to procrastinate. You see, the five wise virgins did everything that was necessary to be ready when the bridegroom comes. When you know what and when to do that which is right and don't do it, that is sin. Procrastination is a destroyer of blessings. I don't know if you ever thought about that way when you procrastinate. And I'm not just talking about y'all. I'm talking about me too. You know, I have learned not to procrastinate as a way of life or as a habit. But we all have moments of procrastination with ourselves. And every time we do it, it doesn't give us any joy. You know, and a rule of thumb, if you could take this tonight and realize, whenever you have something that you have to do, something that has come up to do, something that needs to be done, if you just do it, it's off your mind. But if you allow things to fester and stay and push it back, now something else can happen. And something else got to be done. So now your head is crowded. You see, there are things that God wants to release in your life, but you're not in position to receive them. I pray that you get that. Because, you know, God got things that he want to deliver and work through us and in us, but we're not in position to receive them. You cannot be in position if you are a procrastinator, because it can rob you of your self-esteem, reliability, and your personal peace. Procrastinators do not and cannot have peace because it's always something that needs to be done. We begin making excuses for all of our procrastination, and many times we blame other people, places, or things. You know, sometimes we say there's just not enough time in a day. But I'm going to tell you this, and I hope you remember it for life. When God created the world and he allowed us to have days, weeks, minutes, hours, months, and years, if God designed a day with 24 hours, you best believe that it's enough time. You know, it's never the amount of time that you have. It's what you're doing with the time. It always amazed me in the old days, and I look at this all the time, and because I deal a lot with carpenters. In the old days, they didn't have electric saws. They didn't have electric this. They didn't have, you know, they didn't have the all of these new gadget tools, and they didn't have this, and, they just didn't have all of that. And I use the example because one day I had a brand new door and the door had to have a hole in it. And, you know, back then they would have to take the saw, and you could imagine how thick a door is to sort of make that circle to get that hole to be able to put that handle and that lock in. And now the carpenters have a machine that's got a little circle looking mount on it, and they press it on the wood and it goes straight through. But you know them carpenters back then, they did it much better. And they did it even almost in the same allotted time. Well, maybe not the same allotted time, but they got it all done. And they still had time to go sit down and rest. They still ended the day to work there at a certain time. And they still got everything done. And yet today we have machines. We have electric this and electric that. And we have all of this. And people cannot get tasks done. That amazes me. You know, we go around and we ask God for things that we're not even willing to do the work for him to give it to us. You know, God's going to always do his part, but you have to begin to do yours. And certain things, you have to line it up with the word of God that you ask God for. You know, some people, no matter where they go, they're always late. And to me, that just don't make no sense. And then they have, when they do arrive, all the time, they use the same phrase, girl, the devil is busy. No, you just need to get up a little earlier. You know, we ask God for things that we are not really ready to do the work for. You know, God, I want to buy a house, but yet you handle your credit any kind of way. You know, some people have money to pay their bills, but because they're a procrastinator, they let the bill get behind and they had the money. And then some people have the money to pay their bill and they use the money for something else. And now they're in a problem, they have a problem, and they want to know where God is. You see, not studying the word of God and praying like we should, we say things like, oh, that's not necessary. I don't need to do that. And you see, that's making excuses again. And blaming people, places, and things. You know, blaming others is a part of our nature because, you see, we have that the nature of Adam because he was the first man. And even when the first sin was committed in a garden and when God came and he asked Adam, you know, why he did it, and Adam said, the woman you gave me had me do it. And God went to the woman and she said, that serpent made me do it. We have to take responsibility for ourselves. You know, we have to look things straight in the face. What all is good is good. What's bad is bad. what we need to change. We need to start changing. I didn't say you. I say we. We need to start changing. And we have to watch out for the spirit of procrastination. You know, if we're not careful, procrastination can become our perception. And if we don't pay attention, we're going to make it our reality. And once procrastination be a part of our lives and our reality and we think it's all right and we start doing things that way, everybody notice how you do, because whenever something is going on, they say, oh, well, we're not going to let her get the cake because she might not come on time. And we might not let her get the cake because she might not bring it. You see, it represents you. It becomes a part of you. And once it becomes your perception and you make it your reality, and you've got to watch out, because then it becomes the way you start doing things and you accept it as the truth. Procrastination will make you lose your ability to prioritize. You see, if you got a spirit of procrastination, you done did procrastination so long, that means you don't have no order, so you cannot prioritize. And if you're not prioritizing, well, you know prioritizing is important. But you lose the ability to prioritize with the spirit of procrastination. You see, it is possible to become so good at procrastinating that so many things can actually become piled up high enough to stretch you out. And now that you are overwhelmed and wondering, again, where is God? You know, we have to take responsibility for our ways and our actions. You see, by the time you reach this level of procrastination, you should know that it has become a handicap and there can be no growth. Something else about procrastination you may or may not have thought about. You see, procrastination can cause you to have broken dreams, financial mishaps, scattered employment, failed relationships, many, many, many missed opportunities. And when it's all said and done, you just feel unsuccessful sometimes. You see, the most successful people are the ones who make sacrifices and do the things they don't want to do. You know, when I talked about a little bit right up here, when they say missed opportunities and missed dreams, you see, the doors of opportunity goes around and around and around, and plenty of times they come back. You don't know when, you don't know how. And I have learned in life, when the door of opportunity gets back to some people in their position, they have died. We have to, you know, we cannot allow too many, and some of the problem with becoming procrastinated is because we take too many commitments. We got to watch how many commitments we take. Whenever you're getting ready to take a commitment, you know, from anybody, your family, your friends, your partners, your whoever, you should be made, before you take that commitment, you should count the cost. You got to ask yourself, will this cause my physical or spiritual condition to deteriorate? Because some commitments you make is unreasonable even for you. And if you're trying to go around proving something to man, it'll make you just keep taking commitments, and it don't even have profit to it. Not profit, the profit. That's when it has some meaning with God. Because, you know, only what we do for Christ is really going to last. When I say some of the things we do and don't have any profit, it has no place in kingdom building. You see, the principle of counting the cost should apply in every area of your life, because procrastination can cause you to enter a period of severe consequences, and it would all be for your action, and they could cause problems for you right now, and some they could cause for you in the future. So you could procrastinate the day that could can turn you, have a hole on your life for 20 years. Missed opportunities. You see, sometimes people who could procrastinate allow themselves to become in need. And this is the thing that I love to see. People procrastinate and allow themselves to become in need. And they expect their emergencies to become your urgencies. I don't know about you if that ever happened. And if you notice, it's always the same people. They procrastinate with the things they need to do. And now when the rubber meets the road for them, they're looking at you or others with an emergency and want it to be your urgency. Because you see, when they come, they need it right now. So it's got to be urgency on your part to take care of their emergency. Do not overburden yourself by burning a candle on both ends. What we have to do is we got to face the facts and be realistic. You cannot be everything to everybody. I know a lot of people like that, and I'm guilty of that sometimes too. Because, you know, we love the Lord like we do, and the Bible tells us to help everybody. And we, you know, some people come to us with these things they would like for us to do. And, you know, it's hard sometimes to say no. You know, but we cannot be everything to everybody. The word no, N-O, used in the right situations are blessings. It's okay to say no. And I'm not telling you to say no to everything and everybody, but count the cost. You know, count the cost. If it's going to cause you hardship, it's going to take you away from something you need to do for yourself, you know, count the cost. Because the word no in the right situation is a blessing. Remember that. It's okay to say no. The Bible says, let your yeas be yea and your nays be nay. And the reason they say that, because sometimes we say yes and we really should have said no. Or sorry, we said yes. And now we got bitterness in our heart. Plenty of times people say it yes and then they got to go talk about it. Because, you know, they wish they wouldn't have said it and then they tithe. But let your yeas be yeas and your nays be nays. That's scripture. That's scripture. You know, you can say yes. And you can do all that you promise. And everybody happy but you. You're overwhelmed. And then anger could set in. You know, sometimes you say, why do they keep asking me? Why they didn't do it themselves, but yet you didn't say yes, and you're just talking after the fact because you're overwhelmed, and then anger could set in. Do not take on more than you can chew. If we procrastinate when things don't go the way that we planned, we have to face the facts, look at ourselves, and ask ourselves, what part did we play in this? When we look over our lives and think about where we should or could have been or where we would have liked to be, and we realize in some cases, not every case, we just procrastinate. We wasn't in position for the door of opportunity. We wasn't in position to receive from God what he had for us. Sometimes people can't even get, wasn't in a, in a position to receive something from somebody else because of their attitude, whatever. But, you know, we look over our lives and, you know, there's things that we wish we could have or should have done. And, you know, we had all these plans, but we procrastinated and then it just, you know, didn't come through and it didn't come true or through. And we ask ourselves, but when we evaluate ourselves what we should do so often in our life, we'll realize that sometimes we just procrastinated. We maybe could have been walking in fear, because you know fear is the evidence of something that appeared to be real, and God is not a God of fear, but it's a trick of the door. Fear get us sometimes. You know, we could have just been plain piddy lazy at that time. You know, God was knocking and you wouldn't even get up and open the door. You know, and another thing we could have been doing was placing our priorities in the wrong order. I know y'all know some people who do that. But I came to tell you the good news that we can change. You see, the book of Romans, in Romans 12 and 2, it teaches us that we should transform our, not, we should be renewing our mind by transforming it. Because we see that God is not a God of fear and laziness, and he always lead and guide us to put first things first. But these things are the trick of the devil, which aim to keep you from being your best. Procrastination does not want you to be your best, and it will do what it do to keep you from being your best. You must first face the facts, then decide to do something about it. It is true, God does expect a lot of us, but he will give us the strength and the resources to accomplish far more than we might think that we can. You see, God has given something. God has given some of us something to do, and he has provided and supplied all of the provisions to do it. But here we go again. We procrastinate. You know, procrastination is the enemy. Look at it that way. You see, God has something for all of us to do. And God is constantly, you know, supplying it. If God got something for you to do, he done made the provisions. So if God got something for you to do, he done told you about it, and you know it, and you procrastinate, and all the provisions is there. Come on now. So as I get ready to close tonight, I just want you to keep this in mind. Everything in the world belongs to God. And you ought to realize that, and you really should know that, because when people die, they can't take it with them. This life that we live is not as long as you think, because it's only a vapor. And our hope should be in our salvation in eternity, to live with God forever. But I want you to know that God wants us to manage properly what we have now. And how I like to say it is, you know, I have this in my hand. And everything that God has put in my hand, I try to work it the best of my ability. We have to look at things that way. Remember, everything belongs to God. We are only stewards. And you see, sometimes God has put something in your hand, or in your heart, or in your spirit. And you may have been like the five foolish virgins and procrastinated and didn't prepare and didn't handle what he had given them already. You see, and, you know, God has more for you. But he said, oh, I don't know if it's going to work out. You see, God knows what you're going to do with what he's going to give you. You know, so sometimes when you see people who, I ain't talking about the movie stars and all of these people. I'm talking about people of God, regular people who seem to have it together. You know, you just don't know their relationship with God. And you could kind of look and see if they're handling the things of God properly that he has already given us now. You see, God wants us to manage properly what we have now, and is teaching us to be good stewards of our time, talent, and resources. God then gave us 66 books in the Bible to show us the way. He has allowed the Holy Spirit to be in us, to lead and guide us into all righteousness and truth. And yet, one of the hardest things for us to do is to keep getting it right. You see, God is waiting to entrust us with more once we accomplish the task that he has already set before us. In fact, if you don't learn to appreciate and manage well your time and your responsibilities that you have, you run the risk of losing them. You know, it is said that if you don't use it, you may lose it. You know, we have to learn to tackle what is before us. Clear your mind of things as soon as possible. Because what's undone stays on the mind. And Satan wants to keep it there. Satan wants your mind in overwhelmness mode and confusion mode and I just can't make it mode and it's not enough time mode and it's not enough money mode and because you see now you're defeated and you done spoke it with your mouth that what's not and not, you know, maybe I'm procrastinated, maybe I could do it another way. You could decide to do it another way if you want or don't do it if you don't want. God is still going to be God, and whatever is going on in your life is still going to be happening that way. You know, and as a rule of thumb, if you keep doing things the same way, expecting to get a different result, that's the definition of insanity. Check it out. When we properly handle the things of God, God will supply us with more. And I want you to always remember to whom much is given, much is required. And that's my lesson tonight. It was the parable of the 10 virgins. I gave the background on Matthew's, you know. You know, and you could see Matthew's life. You know, Matthews wasn't doing Hail Mary's, Mother God, blessed are thee, and all of that. But Jesus went looking for us. So no matter what state you're in, whatever purpose and design God has for you, it's for you. And none of us went looking for God. God always came looking for us. And God can use anyone because he could do what he wants, when he wants, how you want, with who you want, because he wants. God got you. But he wants us to be the best that we can be for ourselves. If we never change nothing in our life, if you never pick up the Bible not another time in your life, if you never, never, never step in a church not one day more in your life, God is still going to be God. You don't do God no favor when you read the book. You don't do God a favor when you pray. He created you and he would hope that you would. But that's, you know, God is still going to be God. God has given all of this for us so that we could be the best we can be. You see, God knew they was going to have all these trials and tribulation in this world. You know, my little friend got shot down the other day. You know, I was just with him on Friday. Hallelujah. And he got shot down in the street, and he ain't going to wake up no more. See, God knew all these trials and tribulation was going to be on this side of the earth. Why you think he gave us the manual called the Bible? Why you think he gave us all these examples in a book? And why you think he allowed his son to die on the cross in Calvary? For you. God don't have to read the Bible. He inspired the Bible. It was written by man, but it was all the word of God. It was all God's will for your life and my life. And nobody's going to be perfect, and we're still making mistakes because we have flesh on our body. But it's our job to try a little harder. So I encourage each and every one of you to take the lesson that God has given to me to give to you. I pray that it don't return void, And I pray that it could be something that you could hold on to, that you could ponder and meditate on. You know, because that's what God said. He said we have to chew his word. We have to meditate on it day and night. He said when he wrote the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, he wrote it on stone. He said, but now I got it in your heart. I'm writing it on your heart. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. He said, I'm writing it on your heart. Come on, y'all. Just try to be the best that we can be. And that's the lesson for tonight. At this time, if anyone have any comments or concerns, anybody want to pray, anybody have a prayer request, anybody would like to make a comment, anybody that would like to do anything, you can do it at this time. But I'm asking that everybody pray for our youth. You know, we had 19 shootings in the city of New Orleans from Friday, well, to the weekend, for the weekend. You know, I don't know the answer. You know, but God does. It is so sad. And we have become so immune or complacent. I don't know if I'm using the words correctly. You know, we see it so much till, you know, it's just something to say, you know, oh, they had 12 murders and you're gone. Do you cry out to God for help, our youth? You know, plenty of times, I don't know about you guys, but I know that happens to me sometimes. I'll be praying, and I'll be saying, I don't know what to pray for. They got so many things we could pray for. It's unbelievable. But we have to start setting our sights on the things that are needed and putting them in our prayer. And pray for one another. Pray for Wednesday night Bible study, that the Holy Ghost can give me something that we all need. I pray that God's word don't return void. And if I don't have any comments, questions, or concerns, again, I would like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in and taking time out of your busy schedule to come and explore and hear the word of God with me at Inspirational Wednesday at the 8:30 hour. I'm your host, Diane Adams, and I am privileged and I feel honored to be with you guys every Wednesday night. I pray that God allow us to keep fellowshipping one with another, and that he give me some fresh word for you, because this is not about me. This is not my Bible study. It is our Bible study. As always, I let you know I don't know everything, but I'm only sharing what I know. That's all I can do. And I tell you all the time, I cannot give you illumination or revelation. I can only give you information. And I pray for the Holy Ghost. Every time I have a lesson that you get illumination and revelation, that you could go higher in the things of God. Right now it's the 9:30 hour, and I promise to always finish. So I got to do the benediction prayer, and I'm asking that please pray for our city and our youth and our officials, that their eyes be open and know they got to do more than they do. Hallelujah. Help them, dear God. Help us to help by praying. And at this time, I'm going to do the benediction prayer. No one have any comments or concerns or would like to say anything, because none of the one buttons is pushed, and I don't see any caller want to call in on the phone. But again, I say thank you, and here we're going to go out in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, here am I, your servant, coming to your throne one more time. And, dear God, all I could do is say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for your mercy, and thank you for your grace. I thank you, dear God, that you are God all by yourself. Heavenly Father, I thank you when you get ready to do something for me, you don't have to go in counsel and get it checked out, because you are in control, total control. Lord, I thank you that you have allowed us to be together one more time. And I thank you, Holy Ghost, for the word that you gave me to let it go forth. And I pray that it don't return void. But dear Lord God, right now I'm asking that you look down upon the city of New Orleans, Heavenly Father, and look down upon our youth, dear God. They're like loose cars out of control. Lord, in your word, you said that you would turn people over to a reprobate mind. You know, it's so easy for them to do things like they're doing, dear God, because they're not having any conscience behind it. And, Lord, you say that's what would happen when you just want to be overwhelmed and overtaken with evil. But, Heavenly Father, I know you're a way maker, and you could turn anything around, dear God. And even though I know you're not orchestrating it, but you're allowing it, dear God. And in it all, you have a purpose, dear God, because you're a God of purpose. And you have a design, dear God. And everything is not for us to understand, dear God. But we got to hold on to your unchanging hand. Thank you for allowing me to know Jesus Christ and me placing my hope on eternity, dear God, because I wouldn't be able to make it in this world without you. I wouldn't be able to make it in this world with everything that's going on every side with no hope. So for that, dear God, I say thank you. Heavenly Father, bless all the homes that's represented here. Bless the ones who wanted to call in. Bless the people on the internet. Bless the people who's going to get it off of the other avenues they get it from, dear God, because, you know, the records came down today, and I'm right under 5,000 callers in 6 months, and I just want to say thank you. Thank you for each and every one of them. Thank you for everything that you're doing, dear God. Continue to use me. Lord, I realize I'm not that good. I'm not that smart. I may procrastinate sometime as well. But, Lord, you see fit to use me. And I say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank God. And right now it's 9:34. The program is completed. And we have a lot of callers that listen to music. I see some numbers that I'm familiar with. And since nobody have nothing to say, and I still have a lot of callers, but I see that my spiritual mother, not from La Plaza, is on the phone, Miss Joyce Woods. I love her like a mother. When I can't talk to no one, I can talk to her. Thank you, Miss Joyce. I also noticed some other numbers. I think my daughter, Rianne, is on the phone. I noticed her number. Hello, sweetie. I told you I wanted to hear your voice, but now you're getting to hear mine. Glory be to God. My sister, Jeanette, is on the phone. Hey, Jenny. Glad you called in. I think my two nieces from California is on the phone. I have a very good friend that lives uptown in New Orleans. He's on the phone. Hello. I'm just so excited that you guys call and listen to the lessons week after week. I pray that God be with you guys, each and every one of you, and everything that you're asking for and looking from God, that he will deliver unto you. We have to get ourselves in position to receive the things that God asks for us. You know, plenty of times we don't have, we're not feeling, or we're not emotionally strong, you know, because we don't keep ourselves in position. If you out of position, you sometimes can't receive. So please think about it. Do inventory on yourself. You know, I ask myself all the time what I need to be doing better, and sometimes I achieve it and sometimes I don't. But there are some things I've been doing so long, and I ain't got it right yet. You know, and that's why I tell you, I believe the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I believe it. I just haven't been able to achieve it. Talking about me. But I just want to say thanks to each and every one of you for calling in tonight. And at this time, I'm going to play some music. Now, if you're still on the phone and the music is playing, and you decide you want to talk, you press the 1, and I can still see it, and I'll let you in the studio. But I just want you to let you know that God loves you, and so do I. And until we meet again, God be with you. And each and every one of you, I pray that the favor of God, which is already on you, that God gives you the favor of man and everything that you have to do, everything that you have to touch, everything you may need. That God grant you favor of men. You see, because favor, when you accepted Christ, you already got the favor of God. But God worked favor for you through men. You know how you go to a place and they put you to the front of the line, or something gets straightened out, or somebody just really, really nice to you, or something like that. That's God ordering that favor through men, or through people, not just man, but for you. But I pray that the favor of God that's already on you, and that he instruct men to have favor, to show favor towards you for this week coming out and through the rest of your life. It's my desire. So I'm going to play this song right now. It's
Somebody lift your hand as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. Our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and sing. Come on, if you know it's awesome, say. Come on and lift your voice. Savior of the whole world. Giver of salvation. By his stripes, I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Your voice is safe.
How you doing? I have a caller that's on the line, and the phone number is 504-947-63. I'm not going to say your last two numbers. If that's Brandy, press the one button on the phone, and I know that's you. Press your one on your phone. Okay. Oh, okay. Okay, that's Brandy. Brandy, hello. Yeah, Brandy's a new caller that's calling in, everybody. And she told me she would call in tonight, and I just wanted to verify that it was her. I see she pressed the button as for me asking. I don't know if she want to say anything, but I'm going to just open the mic, and if you don't want to say anything, you don't have to. I just wanted to say hello and know that was you, and let the audience know you're a new caller. So, Brandy, if you would like to say something, you can at this time. You don't have to.
Yes. Hi, everyone.
All right, Ms. Brandy, thank you for calling in, and we hope that you come back on Wednesday, 8:30. We'll be looking for you. If anybody else would like to say something at this time, if not, we know at the 8:30, 9:34, the lesson was over. I don't want y'all to be saying, she keep us in lesson all night long. But some people stay on the line because they love the music, put something else on, and you can listen to the, you know, continue to listen to the music. Another caller just came in just now. Caller, your number is 504-355-62. I know you just came in. I don't know if you would like to say something because, you know, you came in at this time. But if you would like to say something, you could press the one on your phone, and I'll open the mic and you could talk if you would like to say anything. So what I'm going to do is play some music, some more music, and you just enjoy it. And if you, oh, wait, I got a caller. Open the line. Okay, caller, 355, your mic is open. You may speak now.
Yeah, praise to God, Heavenly Father, and he's in my world right now. And I thank you, Ms. Diane, for giving the word. This is Kathy. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine, Kathy Foxworth. Glad you had time to call.
Yeah, I had called in earlier and listened to your word, the Matthews, but I have some steaks on for my lunch tomorrow at work. I started working with the school board, so I had to get off and check on my steaks so they wouldn't burn and come back to you again. But I'm back on the line again, so I'm going to listen to the music. But I just want to thank God for giving you the encouragement and the word to give us. And I went to my church tonight for Bible class. I tuned in your Bible class, now I'm tuning back in. So the Lord is really blessing me with the word tonight.
Praise God. We got to get it all like we can. It's never too much.
Yeah.
And I thank you for keep calling in. And I'm asking that you continue to call. And I thank God for you, Kathy. And it's a pleasure to hear your voice.
And it's great to hear your voice, too.
Well, praise God. So I'm going to just put some more music on. If anybody else want to say anything, you can do it at that time. If not, I'm going to put some more music on and just enjoy.
But the road that I chose had no consent from you. I tried to hide from your will, knowing what you had in store for me. You said you would give me. How could I disagree? Send me, I will go.
this time, I want to just, for those who are still on the line, we're going to close the show, but I'm asking that you pray for the families who loved ones was killed and shot down and murdered on the street. Those families are in need of your prayer. Please pray for them, for all of them, the ones you know, the ones you don't know, because all of those are somebody's children, and they're having a hard time right now. So I'm asking that you lift them up in prayer, that God can heal their cry, hear their cry, and heal their wound of sorrow, because it's not an easy thing. And this is going to end our program for tonight. And I pray that God be with you until we meet again. Thanks again to each and every one of you. In Jesus' name, amen.